Okay, good morning, everybody. Chodesh Tov, Shavua Tov. Welcome to our special Rosh Chodesh monthly shir at the Young Israel of Woodmere. So yes, believe it or not, Hanukkah is behind us, and we're not in Kislev anymore. I said last week in one of my classes, you know, it's Rosh Chodesh. That means it's almost Purim, 2.5 months. So someone said, you know what that means? It's almost Pesach, 3.5 months. She said to me, thank you for that timely reminder. So here we are, it's not Kislev, it is Chodesh Tevis, and the title of today's shir is called Changing Ourselves, Changing Our World. And of course, this Thursday is a fast day known as Asar B'Tevis. So let us begin in the Rambam, Mishneh Torah, Hilchos Tanyos. Again, I said, please take a handout or sit next to somebody who has one. The copies are on the bima. Please sit next to someone who has one. Yesham yamim shekol Yisrael misanim behem. There are days that all of Israel fast. This is what the Rambam says. V'mnei hatzaru she'eru behem, because of the tragedies of the tzaros, the calamities that have befallen us. Kedei la'orer halavavos. It shouldn't just be your fasting and trying to plan your menu for after the fast. And what are we going to eat? And I'm so hungry. But when we come to this fast, of course, it's so short. So that's what we tell the kids. That's what I tell myself. You only have to get through a few hours. No, that's not the reason. La'orer halavavos. It should arouse your heart. Why should it arouse your heart? Because we should remember the calamities that have befallen us that are a result of our sins, and therefore we should awaken our hearts to the path of repentance. We should be reminded of our bad ways, our sinful ways, and the ways of our forefathers that are like our ways now. Because of their bad ways, their sinful ways, and because of our sinful ways, all these calamities have befallen us. When we remember all of these sins, we will be stirred to repentance. As the Pasuk says in Vayikra, we will confess our sins and the sins of our fathers. So which are these days, says the Rambam? Yoshlosha b'tishrei, the third of Tishrei, Shabo Ner, Gedaliah ben Achikam, referred to as Tzom Gedaliah. Gedaliah was killed, v'nichbas, gachalis Yisrael nishara. The last remaining ember was extinguished from Israel, v'sibe, b'lahasim, gulasim. It was the cause that ultimately brought about the finality of exile. V'asiri b'teves, asar b'teves, on this day, the king of Babel, Nebuchadnezzar, the wicked, surrounded Jerusalem, and he brought it under siege. And finally, the 17th of Tammuz. Five things actually happened on the 17th of Tammuz. Moshe Rabbeinu smashed the luchos when he saw Egel Hazav. There were no more sheep for the Karban Tamid in the first base Hamikdash. The walls of the city were breached in the time of the second temple. Apus Tammuz, the wicked, burned the Sefer Torah. And finally, they put an Avodah Zarah into the Heichal. So therefore, these are the days that we fast. Before I continue, I forgot to say Bishus, my mother, who is joining us this morning. Thank you for coming. Okay, so Malachim, Sefer Malachim Beis, tells us it was in the ninth year of his reign, in the 10th month, which is Teves, on the 10th day, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, came with his entire army upon Jerusalem. He camped around it. He built towers, says the Psukim, around it. The city came under siege until the 11th year of the reign of King Tzidkiyahu, and on the 9th month, the famine in the city became severe. There was no bread for the people. And finally, the city was breached in the month of Tammuz. So we understand that Asarat B'Teves is really the beginning of Chorban Beis HaMikdash. And in the 5th month, which is Av, on the 10th of the month, Nebuzaradan the butcher came, says the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. He burned the house of God. The Beis HaMikdash was set afire. The palace of the kings and all the homes in Jerusalem, of course, still today in the old city, you can go and see the burnt house. You can see the houses of the Kohanim. You can see the remnant of what was destroyed during Chorban Beis HaMikdash. All of the walls surrounding Yerushalayim were destroyed. The remaining multitude was exiled by Nebuzaradan. So clearly, this is this day, this fast day, is what I like to say is the beginning of the end. And Eliyahu Kitov writes in his Sefer Toda'ah, the tenth of Tevis, on which the siege of Jerusalem began, was the beginning of the whole chain of calamities, which finally ended with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. I saw a 1 minute video clip. I'm sure many of you have seen video clips of that have been circling of Rav Shteime, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha, different topics, different inyanim, and I saw one short video clip, a 1 minute clip, in which he said that all the calamities and all the sorrows and all the yagon and all the pain that our people have suffered nationally, individually, all the sorrows that we know about, the tzaris that we don't know about. They are all a result of Churban Beis HaMikdash. This is what Shlaiman said. Every tzara that we have undergone in the past 2,000 plus years is a result of the destruction of the temple and the destruction of Yerushalayim and the exile of our people. Rav Soloveitchik comments on the kinnus and he says, there is one central theme stressed in the kinnus. And that is about the Crusades. Of course, there are many different kinnos that we say on Tisha B'Av. He's specifically talking about the kinnos that relate to the time period of the Crusades. And in the kinnos, we have a focus on the suicide and the murder committed by the Jews in an effort to martyr themselves in the sanctification of God's name. The Crusaders, he writes, used to drag the Jews into the church and they would baptize them by force. Knowing this, the Jews did not wait for the enemy to come to them and for the enemy to kill them, but they went ahead. And first they killed the children, then one another, and then they killed themselves. The women in particular, says Rav Soloveitchik, used to commit suicide. They were afraid of being violated, afraid of being raped. The adults were especially concerned about the children. They tried to influence the older children to remain faithful, to indoctrinate them, to implant loyalty in them. But the younger children were too little. They were afraid that if they fell into the hands of the enemies, what would happen to them spiritually? So their fathers killed them for fear that if they themselves were killed, the fathers were killed, the enemy would baptize the children and raise them as Christians, comments from Soloveitchik, as happened to many Jewish children during the Holocaust years. The Gentiles took them and they raised them and they saved their lives. Well, we know that many of those children were not returned. We went knocking on the monastery doors. We know you're hiding Jewish children here and the doors were never opened and so many were never returned. And Soloveitchik says the kinnos speak about those parents who during the Crusades killed their own children and then killed themselves to prevent those children from falling into the hands of the enemy. The Ashkenazi responsic literature discusses people who were afraid that their babies or their children would be forcibly baptized and made to join the Catholic Church. And they killed the children, they killed themselves. It was much better to kill the children than to have them baptized. Listen to this Shaila. One of the leading Ashkenazic rabbinic authorities writes of the following. There was a pious man, calls him Chassid Achad, one righteous man, who was faced with the Crusaders. He looked out the window, and the Crusaders were approaching his house. He and his family were there. They didn't know what to do. So he killed his wife, and he killed his three children. He was about to kill himself too, when suddenly soldiers came and drove the Crusaders away from the town. So he survived, but he had just killed his family. So he wrote and he asked, "Do I have to do teshuva?" There is a disagreement. That was the Shaila. There's a disagreement among the Rishonim about whether parents have the right to sacrifice their very young children in order to prevent them from being converted to Christianity. The Baal HaKinna approves of such actions, while other Rishonim did not approve. The Kinnos mentioned here and there not only the collective tragedy of Churban Beis HaMikdash, the collective tragedy of the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, which changed our national life from top to bottom. Churban Beis HaMikdash changed our national life, and I will say our national destiny, and our history, and our entire trajectory as a people from top to bottom. Having the Beis HaMikdash in the proper place would have given us an entirely different story, an entirely different history. However, the Kinnos mentioned not only the national tragedy, where our whole destiny was overturned, but many individual tragedies. The people, every individual who was lost as a result of Churban, the people who committed suicide so they should not be forced to worship idolatry, people who performed acts of Kiddush Hashem. We mentioned in one of the kinnos the story of the 400 children. It's the Gemara brings down the story of the 400 children, the boys and girls being shipped from the destroyed Jerusalem to Rome, and they made a decision amongst themselves. They asked the eldest boy on the boat, "If we jump into the sea, will we have a place in Olam Haba?" He said yes. The girls jumped first, and then the boys all jumped next. So what happened in Churban Beis HaMikdash, that was in the time when the Romans destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, happened again in the Middle Ages, and it happens again going forward. Every tragedy, every sacrifice, every Churban, every loss, every murder, every land of exile, every Sefer Torah and Gemara desecrated, destroyed and burned, every Jewish soul lost, it all results from Churban Beis HaMikdash. the magnitude of what I'm even reading is beyond the scope of our ability to imagine such things. I'm reading the words, but we can't even fathom what it means, that a father sees the crusaders approaching. So he kills his wife and his children, and then they retreat. So now he asks the Shaila, do I have to kill myself? He asks the Shaila, I did not kill myself. They left, so do I have to do teshuva? Every tragedy, I'm repeating my sentence, every sacrifice, every churban, every loss, every murder, every land of exile, every Sefer Torah burned and Gemara desecrated, it all results from Churban Beis HaMikdash. Having the Beis HaMikdash in its proper place, says Rav Soloveitchik, would have given us a different history. The Churban changed our national life from top to bottom. 180 degrees overturned. And the Churban began with the siege on the 10th of Teves, as we've looked in the sources, we saw the Rambam, we quoted from the Psukim in Malachim Beis, the beginning of the end. So how did I focus to structure this year? The title is Changing Ourselves, Changing Our World. My mother, actually, who I mentioned, Baruch Hashem, is joining us this morning, sent me an article a few weeks ago, a couple months ago, about an event that happened in Eretz Yisrael, and I saved it in my inbox. I'm very mindful to keep my inbox under like 100 emails. My husband says, under 100, Micha, I have 8,000. I said, in your inbox, why don't you make file folders and file them? I have work Young Israel Woodmere, work New Jersey, personal, my emails. I said, I can't handle if I'm like at 90, like I sit for an hour at the computer getting it back down. So, but if I need something relevant, it stays in my inbox. So this email from my mother about an event that happened there, so has been in my inbox for about 2 months after I prepared the share. I was able to file it under the Israel folder. Here we go. If you need help cleaning up your inbox, I could help you. Okay. So I'm going to quote from an article that my mother sent me. Thank you. And when I read this article and I knew that I give a monthly Rosh Chodesh shir here, I said, this is what I'm going to speak about, and the shir will be based on this for this year's Teves shir. How sadly apropos, I'm not quoting the article yet, was the news out of Eretz Yisrael last year on the 10th of Teves itself, the day when we mourn the beginning of Churban Beis HaMikdash, Churban Tzion v'Yerushalayim, Churban Eretz Yisrael, and Galus Yisrael. Here we go. The terror attack on the Jewish fast day of the 10th of Teves, 5777, Tafshin Ayin Zion, last year, January 2017, in which an Israeli Arab citizen from East Jerusalem plowed his truck into a group of soldiers, left 4 Israeli soldiers dead and 17 others wounded. One of the murdered was Erez Orbach, Hashem Yinkom Damo. A friend related, Erez was a great guy. He was always striving to do good. He did volunteer work. He was smart. He was warm. He was always smiling. The evening of the attack, who even remembers? Why did I choose to focus on this? Because it was 4 Batei Mikdash who were destroyed last year, who were cut down in the prime of their lives, all in their low 20s, cut down in the prime of their lives for nothing other than being Jews. And that is a result of Churban Beis HaMikdash that happened 2,000 years ago. Those 4 lives cut down. Do we even remember that 4 Jews, that 4 of our children were killed last year on Asar B'Tavis? You don't have to answer. Do we know that it's coming up to Yahrzeit for 4 families who lost their whole world? Do we know that those 4 deaths represent the national calamity of Galus, of Churban? The evening of the attack, Rabbi Yosef Riman, the Arbach's family, Rav, sent out an email to the Alon Shvut community. All of us are stunned, trembling, crying, broken at the news. Erez would often turn to me with questions about Jewish law, said the rabbi. From his questions, I saw a young person who was searching for a mission, a lover of Torah. He tried to do the will of God in this world. Erez was an example of a person who acted with amazing strength. His spirit govern the physical. Halavai, we should all live by having our spiritual govern our physical. He had a low army profile. He had some health issues. He was not obligated to serve in the army. Again, I am quoting from Rabbi Rimon's email the night of the attack. Despite this, he volunteered in the army. He achieved great accomplishments in the officer course in which he invested and succeeded. He was a volunteer in the Bnei Akiva Nachshon group in the community. His 2 friends, Eitan and Daniel, spoke about him. He had been a true friend, Eres. He had been a friend who was always there for you. He was loving. He was helpful. And Rabbi Rimon concluded the email with words that Eres concluded on every Facebook post with. I don't know how you say it. I'm not on Facebook. But every Facebook post, Eres, this was like his signature, his byline, his tagline. And the name of the Chazon Ish, he would write, a person is obligated in this world, as long as his soul is within him, to try and go on and grow. That's how Eres himself signs off every post. A person is obligated in this world as long as his soul is within him to try to go on and to grow. That's in the name of the Chazon Ish. Eres held American and Israeli citizenship. He was the oldest of six children. After completing Yeshiva High School, studies at Neve Shmuel and Efrat, he enrolled in Ma'alot Yeshiva in the Northern Israel. He fought to be able to fight in the army despite his health issues. His grandfather, Moshe Auerbach, told the radio in an interview prior to the funeral, his request to serve had been rejected numerous times. He continued to fight to be drafted. He felt it was his duty to serve his country and his people. Posthumously, his rank was raised to second lieutenant. The funeral for the four victims took place on a frigid Monday. The times were staggered to enable people to attend all the funerals. Four Jewish soldiers were buried in the soil of the land they loved and cherished so much. 20-year-old Lieutenant Yael Yakutiel from Givatayim, listen to their ages. 22-year-old Lieutenant Shir Hajaj from Maale Adumim. 20-year-old Second Lieutenant Shirat Sur from Haifa. And 20-year-old Second Lieutenant Erez Orbach from Alon Shvut in Gush Etzion. 22, 22, 20, and 20. They were children. The two-lane highway, which leads to the turnoff to the Kfar Etzion Cemetery, was filled bumper to bumper with cars and buses heading to Erez's funeral. Approximately 1,000 people attended. Hespedim eulogies were given by various family members. Erez's father, Uri, spoke. His mother, Karen, was maspid her son. His 12th grade brother, Alon. His grandmother and an aunt. His commander and Rabbi Yosef Rimon, the family's rabbi. His mother spoke briefly and emotionally about how she was blessed to have her son for 20 years. Rabbi Rimon spoke about the Talmudic dictum. The Gemara famously tells us in Maseches Ksubos, it's more important to show one's teeth to a pauper than to give them milk. It means to smile at a poor person is more important than giving to drink. Eres was a smiler. He was a person who exuded warmth and friendliness. Rabbi Rimon noted Eres was often one of the first worshippers to come to synagogue. The first 10 are they who bring down the Shechina. After that, everyone gets schar for davening with the minyan, but the first 10 bring down the Shechina. Erez was often one of the first to come to Beit Knesset. The rabbi said, even though Erez was not yet married, he did not bring new life into this world. He brought new life to the lives of many. He was laid to rest in the opened section. There was a newly opened section of the cemetery, which is designated for soldiers. He was the first soldier, and please God, the last, to be buried in this new section. One child, one Jew, one person, one Beis HaMikdash, an entire world. Multiply that by how many Kedoshim have been lost as a result of Churban Beis HaMikdash. How many lives shattered, how many families destroyed, how many people affected by the tragedy of the calamity of the Churban that our people have suffered. And therefore, this year is dedicated to those four soldiers who were murdered last year on Asar B'Teves, Tafshin, Ayin, Zion. If nothing else, we should remember them. They lived and they died in sanctification of God's name, in defense of the Holy Land, and they were children. Four young Jewish children on the cusp of life serving their country and their people who were murdered because they were Jews. And let us not be deluded by those who say they are anti-Zionist, but they don't have a problem with the Jews. It is a falsity. It is an untruth. It is a new form of anti-Semitism that hides behind a new face. Let us not be deluded by their aim. They were killing us long before the state of Israel was established. We should all remember that. four young, beautiful neshamos cut down in the prime of their lives because they were Jewish, because we are Jewish, because the Umos HaOlam cannot tolerate that we live. The author of the following passage is unknown. I'll tell you one more thing. So when I read what Rabbi Rimon and what the article said about Eris, I thought what an inspiring young man he was and the midos that he emulated. I will be repeating some of what I said about Eris, and we will learn insights and inspiration and how we should live and better ourselves through the way that Eris lived his life. Author unknown, it's on your handout. It's after the Rambam, so the second source. When I was a young man, I wanted to change the world. I found it difficult to change the world, so I tried to change my nation. When I found I couldn't change the nation, I began to focus on my town. I couldn't change the town. As an older man, I tried to change my family. Now, as an old man, I realize the only thing I can change is myself. And suddenly I realized if I long ago had changed myself, I could have made an impact on my family. My family and I could have made an impact on our town. The impact could have changed the nation. And perhaps then indeed, I could have changed the world. In memory of Erez Auerbach, who was killed, Al-Kiddush Hashem, Asar B'Tevis Tafshin Ayin Zayin, we must change ourselves first in order to perhaps one day change this very upside down world. Rabbi Rimon concluded the email with words that Erez posted on every Facebook post in the name of the Chazon Ish. A person is obligated as long as he is in this world, as long as his soul is within him, to try to go on and to grow. Zal teach us in Maseches Avos, it's on your handout. Pirkei Avos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph, it says Avos 2:1. Histaka b'shlosha dvarim. So again, what I'm doing is looking at the life of Erez, very brief picture of the life of Erez, some of the midos that he lived by, that he strove for, that he set an example for us for, and we're going to derive lessons into how we can improve, how we should improve, based on the example he set, based on Torah sources. So Chazal tell us, you should pay attention to three things, and if you pay attention to these three things, you will not come to sin. Halavai. Da mala mala mimcha. You should know what's above you. Eye in ro'a, there is an eye that sees. Ozen shama'as, there is an ear that hears. V'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nichtavim. You should pay attention to these three things. You will not come to sin. Know what is above you. It's not included in one of the three things. It's a general. Know what's above you. What is above you? Three things. Eye in ro'a, an eye that sees. Ozen shama'as, don't think no one's listening to you. Don't think nobody hears you. Don't think nobody sees you, even if you're all alone. V'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nichtavim. And everything you see, and everything you say, and everything you eat, and the way you walk, and the way you interact, and the way you talk, and the way you come, and the way you go, it's all written in the book. There are different ways to understand this Mishnah, so I'm quoting Rav Yisrael Meir Lau in his beautiful Yachal Yisrael on Pirkei Avos. Rav Yisrael Meir Lau explains this Mishnah based on different commentators as follows. So the Meiri understands, how do we explain these three things? Know what is above you. Number one, be aware and cognizant of the existence of God. You have to know that there's a God. Some people go through life not even being aware that there's a Ribono Shel Olam. No, what is above you? There's God. An eye that sees, an ear that hears. Meiri puts those two together. Be cognizant of divine providence. It's not enough to know that there's a God. Some people say there's a God, but he has nothing to do with my life. That's not true. There is a God, and he has everything to do with your life. So know what is above you, according to the Meiri. Know there's a Hashem. An ayin roa and ozen shamas. Know about hashkacha pratis, divine providence. He's involved in every aspect of your life. And finally, chol ma'asecha b'sefer nichtavim, according to the Meiri, all of a person's sins are recorded. Rabbeinu Yonah and others see the breakdown as follows. An eye that sees, ayin roa, who sees your deeds. Your maisim. Those could be maisim tovim, halavai, good deeds that we do, and they could be the other way as well. An ear that hears your speech. Very frightening. An ear that hears your speech. and all of your actions are written in a book in heaven. Everything is recorded and nothing is forgotten. And so Rabbeinu Yonah understands the breakdown of the Mishnah. However, Rabbi Lau brings a different opinion, which is very powerful and impactful. Those are also powerful and impactful, but that is the typical understanding of the Mishnah. In other words, whichever way you break down the three things, God is there, He exists, He's watching everything you do, everything is going to be recorded. So when you get up there to the Olam HaEmes and Mei Vesrim Shana, and they start to play back your life to you, and they open the book, and you want to say, I didn't do that. So what are they going to say? It's right there. What do you mean you didn't do it? It's right there. But however, Rav Lau brings down another opinion. Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Apolnoy, P-O-L-N-O-Y-E, Rav Yaakov Yosef of Polnoy, quotes the Baal Shem Tov, that sometimes a person fails to appreciate his own good deeds and their spiritual reverberations in heaven. This is a whole different way of looking at this. Da mala mala mimcha, know your power. Know your power to move worlds. The Baal Shem Tov teaches, sometimes a person fails to appreciate his own good deeds, spiritual reverberations. How they resonate in the chambers of heaven. How your Maisim Tovim hold up, sustain other worlds, hold up the angels. Quote, if a person believed in himself and in the ability of his actions to affect the higher realms, he would strive with all his might to serve God in awe and joy. I'm going to repeat this. It's really very important. Da mala mala mimcha is not referring, according to this interpretation, it's not referring according to this interpretation that all your sins are recorded, even though they are. That God is watching like the watch guard, even though He is. It's referring to something else. Da mala mala mimcha, know your power as an individual to change things up there, to move worlds, to sustain the angels. A person, says the Baal Shem Tov, must believe in himself. He must believe in his ability, his actions, his maisim, that they can affect higher realms. And if a person knew that, he would strive with all his might to serve God in awe, in joy. His every word would be uttered solely for the sake of heaven. The Mishnah tells us, know what is above you, da mala mala mimcha, activities of heaven. Quoting Rav Lau, the activities of heaven, the songs of the angels, the flow of holiness that descends, it all comes from you. It's telling us about the power of every individual person. The Shefa Bracha, the flow of goodness we can bring down. The changes we can make in Shemaim just by being the best Jew, the best person, the best Eved Hashem that you can be. All that comes from you, writes Rav Lau, in the name of Baal Shem Tov. The activity in heavens, the song of the angels, the flow of holiness that descends, the Shefa Bracha, the flow of blessing. It descends upon your service of God because every individual is a ladder standing upon earth whose top reaches to the heavens. That was the Sulam Yaakov, the dream that Yaakov Avinu had, and he woke up and he's so shocked. Whoa! Manora hamakom hazeh ein zeki im beis alokim vzeh shayr shamayim vanochi lo yodati. Achein, not in this order. Achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh. God is in this place. I didn't even know. Every place that I am establishes a ladder between me and heaven. And just like the angels are going up and down based on Yaakov Avinu, Medrash says so beautifully, the angels would come down, they would look at Yaakov's face, then they would go back up, and they would say, see that his face is on the Maaser Merkava, his face holds up the divine chariot. Achein, Yesh Hashem, b'makom hazeh, anochi lo yadati. I didn't know that I have power as well. A human being brings down godliness to the world. Da mala mala mimcha. Know your power to change. As Erez would write on every Facebook post, as long as a person is of this world, as long as the soul is still within him, he must strive to go on and to grow. There's no such thing as it's too late. There's no such thing as I'm too old. I didn't write it into the Shir, but I believe it's Rav Benish Finkel of the Mir, who says the Yetzer Hara is basically a two-trick pony. He has two tricks. A person wants to change. So you want to take on a midah, You want to read more, you want to daven with more Tehillim, you want to go to another shir, you want to exercise to be healthier, you want to make better food choices to take care of your body, you want to change. So the Yetzer Hara comes along and he says, you're so young. You have so much time ahead of you. You don't have to change now. You have so many years to change. Eat everything you want to eat now. Don't bother going to the shir. Don't learn Torah. Don't say more Tehillim. You have time. And then one day, and nobody knows exactly when the switch happens, you want to change. You want to say more Tehillim. You want to go to a shir. You want to daven better. You want to do more chesed. You want to eat healthier. And the Yetzer Hara comes along and he says, now? Now you're so old. There's not even any time left. Don't bother with this. Two-trick pony. First, you're too young. And then one day, and nobody knows when the switch happens, you're too old. That's his whole tactic, says Rafinka. That's all he wants to convince you. It's never the right time to change. But that's not true. Da mala mala mimcha. Know your power. You can affect tremendous change. Ayin Roa, Hashem is watching us. Ozin Shamas, He's listening to us. V'chama Asacha B'Sefer Nechtavim. Everything is being written down in terms of what Shefer Bracha explains about Shem Tov. You will bring to this world because of your Maisim Tovim. How will you change? Arez was rejected many times from serving in the army. He had health issues. I don't know what they are. It wasn't written. That's not the point. He wanted to serve, and he refused to give up. His spirit governed his physical. To ultimately, his spiritual took over. He was no longer physical or of this world. He was entirely spiritual. Do not give up the fight in this world. You're never too young, and you're never too old. Of Yosef Rimon, the Arbach family, Rav pointed, we are stunned, we are trembling, we are crying, we are broken. Erez would turn to me with questions of Jewish law. He would ask Shilas of Rav. From the questions, I saw a young person who was searching for a mission. He was a lover of Torah. He tried his best to do the will of God in this world. The Tzedek HaKohen of Lublin, I should have put it on your handout, actually. I don't know why I did it. Of Tzedek HaKohen of Lublin, he died in 1900 in Poland. To give you a time frame, he lived there for in the 1800s. He taught something very, very important. K'shem sha'adam tzarich la'amin b'Hashem, kach tzarich ha'adam la'amin ba'atzmo. K'shem sha'adam tzarich la'amin b'Hashem. Just like a man is obligated, required, incumbent, it is a mitzvah, no cheshem el kacha, to believe that there is a God who runs this world. Kach tzarich ha'adam laha'amin ba'atzmo. So too, man must believe in who? In himself. And if we don't believe in himself, we cannot accomplish. If Erez did not believe, he could contribute to somehow the kedushas of Eretz Yisrael, and the safety of Eretz Yisrael, and the betterment of Eretz Yisrael. He would not have fought to allow to be fight. He would have given up. A person cannot give up. You're not too young and you're never too old. Don't listen to the two-trick pony of the Yetzer Hara. Somehow, someday, nobody knows when, says Rabbeinu Shvinkel, the change occurs. You go from being too young to change to being, and now you're going to go to a new shir. At your age, you haven't done it your whole life. Don't start now. Rav Shimshon Pinkas teaches something so profound. I have a typo. Could I have your pen for a second? Thank you. Rav Shimshon Pinkas teaches something so, so profound. Ultimately, the only thing that is really in our hands is our very own selves. What does that mean? Ultimately, the only thing in our hands is your very own self. What does that mean? One cannot make somebody else keep Shabbos. If he could, then his friend's Shabbos observance would be his, not his friend's. Similarly, fill in the blanks. You cannot make anybody do anything else. This is just one example of what you can't make your friend do. But ultimately, says Rav Pinkas, listen to this line. The only thing really in our hands is our very own selves. You can assist your friend. You can encourage. You can cajole. You can advise. But ultimately, the other fellow will make his own decision. Quote, I am talking to myself. The only Jew, says Rav Pinkas, that I have control over is me. It's very profound. We spend so much of our time judging other people, thinking about other people, wanting to change other people. They should be doing this. Why are they doing like that? My husband tells over a great word that he heard of Herschel Schachter Shlita say. Chazal say, Eridanis kol ha'adam l'kaf z'chus. Also Pirkei Avos. You should judge every person favorably to the side of merit. Herschel Schachter Shlita says, that's b'di'evet. L'chadchila. You shouldn't ever be judging anyone else for anything. The only Jew, says Rav Pinkus, I have control. I should type this on a poster and hang it up when I come into my house. And when I leave my house, and I should look at it before I start my day. The only Jew you can change, control, be, grow, strive better is you, is me. What am I judging what other people are doing? I can't change them anyway. I could assist, I could advise, I could cajole, I could set an example. They're going to do what they want. Da mala mala mimcha. Chazal don't say, no, it is above him. No, it's above her. Know what's above you. That's the only one you, I, me can change. I'm screaming at myself. I can only build myself, says Rav Pinkus. I can only make myself into a Talmud Chacham. A Yirei Shemayim, a better mother, a better wife, a better friend, a better teacher, a better Eved Hashem. The only person I can change is me. I really am screaming at myself. Therefore, the most important goal, says Rav Pinkus, the primary and greatest obligation a Jew has in this world is to make himself a praiseworthy person. That's it. If you make yourself a praiseworthy person, says Rav Pinkus, this is an incomparable Kiddush Hashem. This is Tehillas Hashem Yedaber Pi. The praise of God, my mouth sings. There is no greater sanctification of heaven's name than when a person builds himself. Let's look at the tremendous things, says Rav Pinkus, that the Chafetz Chaim did to save the Jewish people. He wrote the Mishnah Berurah. The Chafetz Chaim is as alive in Ruchnius, in spirituality, in Torah, Maisim Tovim, as he was 100 years ago. He's as alive. And yet, says Rav Pinkus, let's look at what he did. He wrote the Mishnah Berurah. Practical halacha should be accessible by the masses. He educated. He exhorted. He taught everybody about Lashon Hara. He did many great things. But Rav Pinkus says, the greatest thing the Chafetz Chaim did was that he built the Chafetz Chaim. That's it. Simply erecting the edifice of such a Jew in this world is the greatest Kiddush Hashem that could possibly be. He lives on for generations because he built the Chafetz Chaim. This is what David HaMelech said. I'm sorry. This is what David HaMelech said when he began Sefer Tehillim. Ashrei ha'ish asher lo halach ba'atzas v'sha'im. Fortunate is the man who does not go in the ways of the wicked. Ashrei ha'ish. Fortunate are you if you build yourself up. Erect the edifice of a praiseworthy person, says Rav Pinkus. In truth, the only thing in life you have to work with is yourself. Da mala mala nimcha. Stop worrying about what is above everybody else and worry what is above you. Erez was worried what was above himself. Could he smile more? Could he ask another shayla? Could he serve in the army despite being rejected? Could he remind himself that as long as the flame is within him, he must strive to grow? 20 years old. Says Rav Pinkus, I travel around the world a lot, says Rav Pinkus, to sanctify the name of heaven. I participate in outreach seminars. I'm a teacher. It sometimes happens, says Rav Pinkus, I'm waiting for a plane. At such moments, I'm sitting in the airport. I feel like I'm wasting time. I could be in New York. I could be doing things to further Torah assistance. I could be in Eretz Yisrael doing important things. Here I am. I'm just sitting in the airport in Paris looking at a sefer. The truth is, those 5 minutes in which a person can sit and dedicate to building himself through Gemara learning, through Musar, through Davening, through Tehillim, that's what Rav Pinkus says, this is the greatest and the best Kiddush Hashem that there is. Those 5 minutes when I'm sitting and I think I'm doing nothing for nobody and I'm just sitting. Make sure you're doing something for yourself. Therefore, by changing ourselves first, thereby perhaps we can somehow impact and change the world. In the name of the Chazon Ish, Arez would write, a person is obligated in this world, as long as his soul is within him, to try and go on and grow. He ended every Facebook post with those words, and I wrote in my notes that he was like Yosef. They called before him when they put him in the Merkava, the Mishnah, second chariot to the king. They called before him Avreich. What's an Avreich? So Rashi says a few interpretations, but Avrach. He was Av Bechachma and Rach Beshanim. He was wise. He was old. He was a sage in years, in wisdom, even though he was young in years. Avrach. He was an Av, he was an old person in terms of wisdom. He was Rach Bishanim despite his young age. He had a tremendous wisdom. This Ar HaChaim is just unbelievable. Look on your handle, please. Bamidbar Perachof Gimel Pasuk Yod. Okay, it says Bamidbar 23:10. 1 second, please. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam. Shal Kol Nehiya Bedvaro. Excuse me. This piece of Ar HaChaim is just unbelievable. Okay, the Pasuk tells us, this is from Bilam and his prophecy, his nevuah. So the Pasuk says, Mimana afar Yaakov, who can count the dust of Yaakov, umispar es rov Yisrael, who can number the dust cloud of Israel. And then Bilam says, Tamos nefshi mos yesharim, let my soul die the death of the straight ones. Utihi acharisi kamohu, let my end be like theirs. What are we talking about here? Who wants to die at the end and be like the Avos? Sefer Yesharim. Bamit Bereshis is known as Sefer HaYashar. Tamos Nafshi Bos Yesharim. Let my death be like the death of the righteous ones, the straight ones. The patriarchs are known as Yashrim, straight. Okay. Balaam wants to die like the Avos. Balaam the Rasha, God's talking to him through a donkey. Everything's great, and what happens? He doesn't change. He doesn't learn. He's a Rasha. He wants to curse Israel. What's going on here? Okay. Look at the Ar HaChaim, please. We're right there. Bottom of page one. So the Ar HaChaim says as follows. Ad Yirtzeh. Okay, he presents a number of different interpretations. First of all, one of the things the Ar HaChaim says is this phrase is not a nevuah. It's Bilam's actual desire. Bilam's Matov Alacha Yaakov, one of his absolutely more famous nevuahs that he prophesied. We are an Am Levadad Yishkon, another very famous prophecy. This, Meirosh Tzimar Eno, he sees us coming from the patriarchs and the matriarchs. This is not a nevuah. Bilam is expressing a ratzon. I want to die the death of the straight ones. I want to die like a tzaddik. So the Ar HaChaim says he's not saying God's words, he's saying Bilam's words. What does he want? Look at this. Ad Yirtzeh. Rachaim says, Shebehagio liyam hamisa, when he reaches the day of death, yetiv drachav mima'asav haraim v'to avosav. He should improve his ways, yetiv drachav, he should improve his ways from his wicked ways and from his sinful desires. What's he saying he wants to do? In a word, what would you call that? Very nice. What's he saying? I don't want to be this bad person anymore. I don't want to have these bad ways anymore. Ki rasha shebe'umos haya. He was a wicked person from the Umos Olam. What's Bilam? If Yosef's last name is Tzaddik, and Moses' last name is Rabbeinu, what's Bilam's last name? Harasha. He was a Rasha Sheba Umos Haya. He was a bad person. V'asono Shahai Solo Sochanes, and his donkey was an agent. Amram Zal, Tagid Elav, like the Gemara says. I did not look up the Gemara. It's beyond the scope of today's show. I don't even know if I'm going to get through all my material. Trying. My mother always says, prepare a little less and talk a little slower. Right? It's true. She's here to testify that it's true. And I want to give you so much, and I try and prepare. I prepare so much, and I talk too fast sometimes. Stay on my tongue so fast. How's it? It's okay? Okay. Ella shenisava shebisha asmi. You know, he had a donkey who talked to him. Like, it's clear that God's in charge of your life, so why can't you do teshuvah? You have an agent, you have a donkey. When's the last time the donkey spoke? This donkey was prepared for Maisa Bereshis, from Sheshus to Meabeshus, Brain of Shmashus. It's one of the magical, the Hashkacha things, the supernatural things, prepared way back by Bria Sa'od. You don't see God's in control, so why are you a Rasha? Remember the two-trick pony? It's too hard for people to change. Look what the Ar HaChaim HaKadosh says. Alashin is Ava, Shebisha'as Misa, Yashuv He desired that at the time of death you use the word teshuva, yashuv. He will repent. V'yeh yashar kayasharim shabumos. He won't be the rasha shabumos anymore. He will be the kasher shabumos. He will be like the yashar in the umas ha'olam. He will be straight. Yashar kayasharim. The mother of all straight people from the umas ha'olam. The straight of all the straight. He won't be a rasha. Olafisha amar amizgo, but because he stood in his wicked ways, v'inu hura b'tachusara. He is wicked, and his whole tachus, his whole purpose is to do bad. V'imnimna mimeno asos yoshar. Please don't start asking me about bechira chavshis, free will, and God knows what's going to happen. But it was held back from him to do the right thing because he's such a rasha, just like Paro. Bechira is taken away from him. Lazesha al davar shayachal liyo. So he asked for something possible. Shebishas de kuduma shamaves yia yasha. That at least at the time of death's desolation, he should be granted the ability to be straight. Let me at least die like a straight person, even though I can't do teshuva in my life because I'm such a rasha. I'm so firmly entrenched in my path. I forgot that I have any power in Shamayim, a rasha says. I forgot. At least in my death, let me be yashar. Look what he says next, and I bolded this for you. The kayotze bizah, similar to this, says Arachayim. If you're not with me, just go to where it's bolded. Ra'isi. Ra'isi Rishaim, Sha'amrim li b'feirush, Sha'amrim li b'feirush. Look at these powerful words. The Aruch Chaim says, I've seen wicked people who have told me straight out, clearly, explicitly, Ki im hayu yodim sheyachzru b'teshuva, v'teichef yamusu hayu osim. I've had wicked people tell me, so this problem with trying to change ourselves isn't like a new thing in Tafshin Ayin Chas. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, I've had people have told me b'feirush, clearly, explicitly, that if they knew, as soon as they did teshuva, they would die, they would do teshuva. Ela sheyodim she'enam yecholim la'amal b'teshuva zman aroch. But they know they can't keep being good. They could be good for a moment, for 5 minutes, for an hour. They could do teshuva. So they would do teshuva if they knew they would die right away. And then they would go up to the Olam Emes. But they don't trust themselves. They don't feel they could lead a righteous life. Why can't they hold up the good ways for a long time? What is he referring to? I gave it to you on the footnote so you would know what the Aruch Chaim is talking about. In Kohelas, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Gimel, please just look at your footnote. The Pasuk tells us, Tov Yalad Miskain V'chacham, a poor and wise lad is better from an old king, an old foolish king, who doesn't have the sense to be warned anymore. So Medrash calls Rabba, and I didn't give you the whole Medrash because I knew that I for sure didn't have time for it, even though it's such a beautiful piece. Who is the old king? Who is the foolish king? Zeh Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara is the foolish king. Why is he called a king? Look what the Medrash says. What does it say? Shall call Shamin Lo. Because why? A king is someone you listen to because he says the law. Everyone listens to him. Going back to the Aruch Chaim, why can't this is such an unbelievable statement. Ra'isi Risha'im Sha'arim li b'feirush ki im hayu yodim sheyachzru b'teshuva v'tekef yamusu hayu osim ala sheyodim she'enam yecholim la'ama b'teshuva zman arach ki dvar melech aleim melech zakenu kisil. Your people have told me personally that they want to repent. If only they would die right after teshuva, they would repent. But they don't trust themselves to live as chozrim b'teshuva. Because who's too strong? That two-trick pony. That king. Who's the king? Not that king with a capital K, the Yetzer Hara. And then he writes, Rachmana Litzlan. May God save us from this Yetzer Hara. Therefore, Balaam did not ask that he should die like the tzaddikim of Yisrael, because it was impossible for him to die like the tzaddikim, but at least at the end of his days, he should be granted to die as a yashar. Maybe he can't live as a yashar, to die as a yashar. And I've quoted this many times, if you've heard me quote, if you've heard me say in a Wayu Torah, Bilvavi Mishkan teaches, within every person is every biblical personality. That means there's a Bilam HaRasha inside of every single one of us. Isn't it true? You have the voice who says, you know, you really should do better, you really should repent, and then the other one who says, it's not worth it, it takes too much effort, I know, Dam Alam Alam Mimcha. There's no excuse. Rabbi Rimon, moving on. Rabbi Riman spoke about the Talmudic dictum in Maseches Ksubos 111. It is more important to show one's teeth than to give milk to a pauper. It says to show the whites. To show the whites of the teeth. In other words, how do you show your whites of your teeth? Smile. When you smile, you show the whites of your teeth. Then to give milk to a pauper. Erez was a smiler. He was a person who exuded warmth and friendliness. Shammai would say in Pirkei Avos 1:15, I'm sorry I forgot to give it to you. Shammai would say, Perek Aleph, okay, in Pirkei Avos, Mishnah Tesvav, Asei Toras Chakiva, make Torah a permanent feature of your life. Amar Ma'at, Vasei Harbei, speak little, do a lot. Vehevi Mekabel as Kol Ha'adam B'Sever Panim Yafos. And you should greet every person with a pleasant countenance. Rav Lau teaches, and I saw this brought down somewhere else as well, this is Avos Rabbi Nassan. Avos Rabbi Nassan teaches, if you give someone the finest gifts, but if you do it while scowling, you may have done nothing. If you give someone the finest gifts and you're grimacing and you're frowning and you don't and you begrudge them and you have that look on your face that says, I'd rather not be doing this for you, but you give it to them anyway, it's as if, says Avos Rabbi Nassan, you gave them nothing. But if you greet someone graciously, explaining this Mishnah based on the Gemara, it's meant to show the whites of your teeth, you are considered to having been bestowed the greatest treasures and the greatest riches upon another person. Why? The core of a kind deed is the feeling that it engenders. Our sages state, therefore, that smiling at a pauper is better than giving them milk. Interestingly, Rav Lau points out, who teaches us this? I know I didn't give it to you on your hand up, but I started by saying Shammai would say. Why is that so interesting? Because Shammai was much stricter. Beis Hillel wanted to take in every convert and teach them Torah al regal achas, and Shammai took the stick and he pushed them away. Shammai was much more, maybe in our day we would say, harif, machmir, harsh, strict. Hillel was much more, I'm using this term very loosely because it's not true, but in our language, meiko, welcoming, inviting, forgiving. Shammai, who is known for the harsher letter of the law approach, is the one who teaches, Hevi Mekabel is called and Besever Panim Yafos. You have to greet every person with a pleasant countenance. Therefore, says Rabbi Lau, this teaches us, this is not an act of generosity or going beyond the letter of the law or doing something nice that's not required of you. This is the base minimum halacha that's required, because we learn in Davka from Shammai. It's the basic duty of the law. Rav Dessler says, should you fail to return someone's greeting, you are comparable to a thief. Let me see what time it is. I need to skip. I don't really want to skip. Someone who knew Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal for many years said, I never met another man who would make people feel so important just by looking at them. Just by looking at someone. He greeted everyone with respect and good cheer. One man recalled that Rav Moshe once failed to notice him. He walked by, you know, delayed reaction times. 10 steps later, Rav Moshe turned around, came back, greeted the man to make up for his oversight and spent some time conversing with him. The high-rise complex where he lived had a park behind the building. The benches used to be full of elderly Jewish couples, only some of whom were observant. Often when returning to his apartment, Rav Moshe Zatzal would take the scenic route. He'll go through the back of the building, require him to walk through the park. So they said, why don't you just go through the front? It takes much faster. It'll get you home much quicker. So he says, when else do I have an opportunity to greet so many Yidden who survived the war? On his long walk home from yeshiva on Shabbos, he wished every person, observant or not, a warm good Shabbos. Once he was being driven home from a function by a total stranger. The driver whispered to someone, what am I going to talk to Rav Moshe about? I can't speak with him in learning. His anxiety lasted only for a few moments. They had a friendly conversation about family, livelihood, other topics about which the man felt comfortable. Rav Moshe noticed the man, this is in the days before Waze, Rav Moshe noticed that the man took a different route than the usual one, and he asked him about it. And the man said that the traffic lights on this route are synchronized, so you get there a few minutes faster. But when he got out of the car, the Gadodar thanked the individual and he said, I learned something new from you. Now I could tell people there's a faster way. Made the person feel so good through his Savior upon him, Yafos. This also relates to Da Mala Mala Mimcha. Every action, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, Bein Adam L'Makom, Bein Adam L'Asmo, has the power to move worlds. Erez understood we must greet everyone. smart and simple, wealthy and poor, observant and not yet, important and regular, scholar and regular person with a pleasant demeanor. This is not beyond the letter of the law. Hillel does not say, Haven Makabos called on Besever Panam Yafo. Shammai teaches us. Erez was a great guy, said a friend. He was always striving to do good. He did volunteer work. He was smart. He was warm. He was always smiling. If Yisrael Salanter taught that your face is public property. How many times a day do you see your face? And how many times a day do others see your face? Very powerful. How important, you cannot leave before we do this next piece. How important is it to have a Sefer Panim Yafo? This actually relates to the parsha that we just read yesterday. Page 2. Pardon? Yisrael Salanter, father of the Muslim movement. Look on the top page 2. You cannot leave. Vayave Yosef is Yaakov Aviv. I'm at the top of page 2. Paro. So Yaakov comes down to Egypt. We have the long reunion, the long-awaited reunion between father and long-lost son. And Yaakov gives Paro a blessing. Pasuchas. And Paro says, Vayomer Paro el Yaakov. I'm going to read in the Lashon HaKodesh. Paro says to Yaakov, Kame yimei shnecha yacha. How old are you? Pasuk Tes, verse 9. Vayomer Yaakov al Paro, I, you wouldn't believe how old I am. Yemei shnei megurai shloshim u'ma'ashana, I, the days of my sojourns, 130 years, me'at, few, v'ra'im, I, did I have a bad life for the days of my life? I did not reach the days of my father's life on their sojourns. Interesting. Someone asks you how old you are. Nice to meet you, Jacob. What a son you have. A brilliant Navon Vechacham, a discerning young man. He has saved us from famine, the whole region. He is our CEO, our CFO, our COO. Without him, no one in Egypt can raise a hand or foot. I'm so happy to meet you. You came down here. Look, the Nile rose to greet you. You must be a tremendous personality. By the way, how old did you say you were? I... Few and bad are the days of my life. I didn't reach my father's days. Or, nice to meet you, Pharaoh. Thanks for having me. It's true, what a son I have. Fantastic to meet with him once again. Thank you for saving him from death. Thank you for supplying us with food. Thank you for letting us live in Goshen. Few and bad are the days of my life. Look at the Baldas came in Bali Tosfos. You have to look at this. Don't leave. How important is it to have a Sefer Panim Yafos? To smile. Erez was a smiler. It's hard to relate to someone that we never knew and that we never met. And I hope after the shiur, when you come to Thursday on Asar Bateves, you'll think about one Jewish child who is the brother and the son of all of us, who was killed on this day. And if you want to see his picture, he was a young, beautiful boy. You can Google Erez Auerbach, January 2017, and you can see who he was. How important is it to have a Sefer Panim Yafo? Shammai teaches us this, not Hill. Look at the Das Kenim. Pshat. Lafisha Ra'ehu Zakein Ma'od. He sees a very old man. Visaros Rosho Vizakeno Lifanos Mirova Zikna. His hair and his beard are white because he's so old. Sha'al Kane. Therefore, Paro asked him, so how old are you? V'hua now, and he answered, second line of Das Kenim, the days of my sojourns are 130 years, me'at v'ra'im, few and bad. Klomer me'atim heim shnosai, my years are few, ala mitoch ra'o shahayali, even though I'm not really 500, my years are actually few. But because of the troubles that have fallen upon me, old age jumped upon me. You know, Rahman al-San, you see someone who, God forbid, or Elaine, who has gone through a traumatic, life-changing event, we should never know, and you say they age. So that's exactly what the Das Kenim is saying here about Yaakov. I'm really not so old in age, 130 back in the day, wasn't so old, his father lived to 180, but because of my troubles, kaftza alai zikna, old age jumped upon me. Medrash, please follow with me. Third line of the Das Kenim, fourth word in. Medrash. B'sha'ash amar Yaakov me'averaim hayu. When Yaakov answered, they were few and bad. Amar lo kosh baruch. So the Almighty said, Look at this. Ani maltitecha me Esav umilavan. I saved you from Esav and Lavan. Vehachzarti lecha dina. I returned dina to you. Vegam Yosef, and I returned Yosef. Va'ata misraema chayacha. Shehem me'avirayim. I gave you so many brachos. I gave you so much good. And you could stand up and testify and say that your days of your life looked at them in a bad light. Misraim ra. You could look at them in a bad light, your life, and say they were few and bad. Chayacha. Sheminyan hatevel sheyesh min vayomer. The number of words from vayomer, first word in verse 8, it's on your handout. Ad b'yemei magurai, until the last word in verse 9. Kach yisruo mishnosecha. That's how many years will be taken off. Everyone count with me. Go to the top of page 2, where it says verse 8, which is pasuches. Go to vayomer. Count with me. Put your hand on vayomer. I'm not going to read the words. I'm going to count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There are 8 words in verse 8. Continue into verse 9. How many words did I say? 8. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Megurai is 15. 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33. I did that on purpose with you. So you can see what the Das Kanim is talking about. How many words are in those two psukim? We just counted them together. 33. I swear, says God, the number of words in verse 8 and verse 9, kach yisru mishnosecha. You will lose 33 years of life. Shalotichya kechai Yitzchak avicha. Their father lived to 180. I put in your footnote, so it's very clear for you. Your father lived to 180. You're going to live to 147. Why? You're losing 180, 147, 33 years, even if you're not a mathematician. Why? Because of those 33 words in those two psukim. How important is it to have a saver panim yafos? But I want to point out something unbelievable. You could have a problem with this Das Kanim. Okay, I understand why Yaakov was punished for verse 9. Oy, my days of my life are terrible. But what about verse 8? Pasuches. Pasuches is Paro says to him, nice to meet you, that's exactly right. How old are you? Why is he punished for that? Because we already said that your face is public property. By looking at him, Paro knew something was wrong. Could either go looking to Krachana, to Hargana, smutna upon him with a scowl and a frown, and there Or you could go in with Sefer Panim Yafos. And if you go in with the former, already you're giving the impression, without even having said one word, that something is wrong. And therefore, Yaakov is responsible not only for his answer, "Oy, would you believe my life?" but he's also responsible for Paro's question. And he lost 8 years of his life for Paro's, "Oh, so nice to meet you. How old did you say you were?" Because Paro realized that something was wrong. If you have to leave, leave. I need one more minute. I don't want you to leave, but I want to really finish because I'm ending with something that ties our whole shiur together. Risa Rotman, somebody gave me this book. My thanks to Susie Tachman for giving me this book by Risa Rotman. It's called Terror and Amuna and Harnof, talking about the all the kedoshim we've lost as a result of Churban Beis Hamikdash. Howie Chaim Rotman, Zichrono Levracha, Shem Yikom Damo, was the last of the Harnof victims to die. He lay in a coma for 1 year post-attack. Risa Rotman has come out with a book, his widow. As the tears began to abate in the first few days post-attack, while sitting in the hospital, I found I examined the events from a ruchnius, spiritual perspective. It was so clear to me that there was a message in this attack. It was a shul. They were davening. It was a place where there was very little machlokas, where diverse members cared about each other and respected each other. A bloodbath in our holy place could only be reminiscent of another ancient tragedy, she says, Churban Beis HaMikdash. To me, the message was clear, writes Risa Rotman. If the temple is destroyed because of sinas chinam, we in Klal Yisrael must improve on Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. And I hope that we had some insights based on the Churban of Erez Orbach, all the Kedoshim, based on many Torah sources, on the way that Erez lived his life, to help us improve not only ourselves, but by improving ourselves, can improve our interaction. Bein Adam l'chaver. We have to love and respect one another, says Risa. We have to feel closeness, no matter where that other person is standing. Each of the women thrown into this tragedy came out with the same understanding on their own. There's no question. They nodded their heads in agreement. Klal Yisrael, and especially the residents of Har Nof, understood this message. The two-lane highway, which leads to the turnoff to Kfar Tzion, was filled bumper to bumper with cars and buses. 1,000 people attended the funeral. Erez's father Uri spoke, his mother Karen spoke, his 12th grade brother Alon was masbid, his grandmother and his aunt, his commander and the rabbi. His mother spoke briefly and emotionally about she was blessed to have Erez for 20 years. He was laid to rest in the newly opened section of the cemetery, designated and reserved for soldiers. He was, hopefully, please God, the first and the last to be buried in the section. The Navi tells us towards the end of Sefer Yeshayahu, Va'ata Hashem Avinu Ata, now God, you are our father. We are the material, you are our fashioner. We are the work of your hands. Al tiktzof Hashem ad ma'or. God, don't be so angry. Va'Allah ad tizkar avo. And don't always remember our sin. Hein habeina amcha kulanu. Look down at your people. Look at Arei Kodshecha hayu midbar. Your holy city is desolate. Tzion midbar haisa. Zion is desolate. Yerushalayim shemama. Jerusalem is desolate. Beis Kodshenu v'tifarteinu, our holy home, where our forefathers praised you, has been burned by fire, and our precious places have been destroyed. We should be zocha umacha shem dima me'al kolpanim, v'cherfas ama yasir me'kol ha'aretz. Erez does not need our aliyah neshama. Tehei zichro baruch. We should remember that he lived. We should remember that he was killed. And may his life inspire us to be a little bit better, so that if we change ourselves, we can change the world, and we can all witness Bias go outside that Bimhera Biyamenu. Amen, amen, halavai. Thank you, ladies. Shavua tov.